What is up, everybody? It's episode 10. Who'd have thought we would make it a 10-year anniversary of the Weekly Pour podcast? Yay. Did I say 10-year? Well, whatever. It's you our did. 10th episode. I am TBT. That guy is Ace.
Hey, everybody. How's it going?
And here we are. I'm jumping right in it because I can't contain my excitement. I waited for years for this to happen. And finally, on Friday, Disney Plus released Obi-Wan Kenobi, or at least the first two episodes of Obi-Wan Kenobi. If you're a fan of Star Wars, then you're going to love what I have to say. If you're not a fan of Star Wars, just keep listening because we'll move on to something else. But I got to tell you, in my opinion, if you have not watched anything that Disney Plus has dropped, because, you know, you don't like Star Wars or you don't like sci-fi or you just don't like Disney or whatever, do yourself a favor. If you know anything about the Star Wars story at all, take the time to watch two episodes of Obi-Wan. You will not be disappointed. Part two, I guess episode two, they're both about 40 to 50 minutes long. And as I watched episode two, they do a very good job in episode one of putting us where this story belongs in the timeline of Star Wars. Episode two, however, the last 2 minutes of the episode, I'm not kidding, I've watched it at least a dozen, if not a couple dozen times. Just the last 2 minutes. I'm not going to give it away, so this is no spoilers, but you've got to watch it. Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Are you looking for Easter eggs or something?
No. Well, I mean, I do after the fact, you know, after I've watched it, you know, I'll go back and say, well, what did I miss? And, you know, I'll Google it and see, you know, what I've missed. But everybody's excitement is around Darth Vader, you know, making an appearance or being, you know, part of this story. Again, I'm not going to spoil it, but if that's your thing and you're like really, really digging this whole Star Wars, Darth Vader, Obi-Wan Kenobi thing, watch both episodes. They're going to be releasing every episode up to six.
Pardon my hand.
No, do your thing. We're going to be releasing a new episode every Wednesday. And keep in mind that there are only six episodes for this entire season. So we're already a third done with it. And tomorrow, because we record this on Tuesday, tomorrow episode three will be released and we'll be 50% done with this whole thing. I can't wait. Like, I am starting to feel like I'm getting sick and I may not make it to work tomorrow just so I can stay up until midnight 01 and watch episode three. It's that thing, you know, and if I go to work tomorrow, then that means I have to wait until I get home. Well, I get home, I'm still going to be able to watch it because I'm sure the wife, totally not, she doesn't want to watch it, but she will just, you know, for my benefit, she'll be like, oh yeah, sure. I want to watch it with you. It's total lies, but that's okay. Yeah. She'll fall asleep or something, but I'm excited about it. I've watched Mandalorian. I've watched, you know, all the Star Wars movies, of course. Mandalorian, Boba Fett, they were good. Mandalorian's coming back again for another season, but this Obi-Wan Kenobi show is off the charts. Aside from the last 2 minutes, that again, I've played, you know, a dozen or two times, it's off the charts. It's full of action. The story's there and everybody thought, you know, this is going to revolve around, you know, the whole Obi-Wan looking after Luke Skywalker. Not necessarily a spoiler, but I will tell you that Luke Skywalker is featured in, I don't know, it may have been episode one for 10 seconds. That's it. So remember that Luke has a sister. And I don't know what little girl, I don't know this girl's name. This little girl, she's probably, I don't know, between 9 and, hell, maybe 7 and 10. This little girl has so much sass in her performance and in the way she delivers her lines. This girl's brilliant. She's going to go a long way. If you're a fan of The Walking Dead, Rick Grimes has a kid. I can't remember her name. Judith. you know, the girl that they have played Judas.
Not Carl?
No, that's the son.
Carl!
So Judith is very sassy, you know, has an attitude a little bit, but this little girl that they have playing Princess Leia would give her a run for her money. I want to get off my high horse real quick, but I got to say, if you're into Star Wars at all, you've got to watch Obi-Wan Kenobi, because it'll blow your mind. If it doesn't, then you're not a true fan.
You've almost sold me on it.
I'm telling you.
I haven't watched. I started The Mandalorian. I drifted off from it for whatever reason. I've got ADHD with TV shows.
Sure.
And I forget I'm watching them half the time. So you've just about sold me on it.
If I can tell you to just take 2 hours out of your day, or you know, an hour a day over the next 2 days, and just watch both episodes, I think you'll be hooked, because you're like, okay, I wonder how this is going to turn out. Especially the last 2 minutes of episode two. It just, that right there has set it for me. And I'm like, let's go. Let's get this going, because I want to know what happens.
So those are crucial. Those last 2 minutes are crucial.
Sure. We'll call it crucial only because there's a realization there that maybe Obi-Wan didn't know something that we all know as a Star Wars fan. Basically, we know about Anakin being Darth Vader. That's no secret. But did Obi-Wan know that? Last 2 minutes, episode 2. I don't give a shit if you watch the entire episode or not. Go to the last 2 minutes. There, I'll sell it to you that way. Just do the last 2 minutes.
Everything I've heard or seen about this, just in pop culture, has raved about it being the best thing Star Wars has done, that Disney has done with Star Wars. It's raved about it. So it's probably worth a look, I would say, especially if you're a fan. But if you're a fan of sci-fi even, you probably would enjoy it.
Yeah, I like, you know, we talk about music a lot, and we talk about reviews of albums, which we'll be getting into here shortly. But, you know, you talk about reviews of music and, you know, videos, albums, whatever. I don't usually pay attention to reviews for TV shows, but I had heard the same thing. You know, everybody was like, this was before I watched it. Oh, it's good. You know, it's the best thing Disney's put out. And I'm like, okay, you know, whatever. I tend to not, you know, fall into that crap that you hear, but after watching it, best thing Disney's ever done for Star Wars, best thing that Disney Plus has put out, totally worth watching. I've watched the last 2 minutes over 24 times. I'm going to watch it again, like right now. Like right now, I'll pull it up and I'm just going to watch it. I'm going to sit there like this. Oh, that's awesome. But yeah, it's badass. And I totally, you've got to watch it. If you're at work right now and you have nothing to do, pull up on your phone, go to Disney Plus, and just watch it. Don't get in trouble. And if your boss says, well, TBT said I could, that's fine. They can email me.
Right. Let them know what the email is.
That's theweeklypoorpodcast@gmail.com. And in the subject line, you put attention ace.
Right.
That's
my
know.
Fault. You know, and I think I said this when we talked about it last week, but the cool thing is, you're getting 6 episodes. That's it. But that means it's all story orientated, right?
Sure.
So there's no filler. There's no waste of time. We're getting all the story in that we can get in those 6 episodes to probably just enough to make us want more for next time.
Yeah, and if you think there's filler when you're watching it, go back and rewatch the episode. And you're like, oh, you know, that wasn't filler because this was going to happen or that was going to happen. And that's, you know, this was leading up to that. So, no, you're 100% right on, you know, they don't have to, you know, it's not a 60 episode season where, you know, they've got one episode that is all about what happened to, you know, this dude before he was a crack addict or something like that. So there's no filler. It's all like badass in your face. Holy crap. Watch it.
I was a big fan of Lost, and when Lost broke their seasons up into 11 episodes, that was a lot better because they weren't wasting so much time trying to fulfill the network's demand for 22, 23, 24 episodes.
Sure.
And they can just pack all the story in, even though they didn't know where it was going. That's another avenue, but
right.
You know, but yeah, they could pack all the story they could in. And that's the really cool thing about what we're getting with subscription services or cable is that, yeah, it's 12 episodes of whatever show you're watching, but it's all story.
Exactly. Now, I think there's still some, and I'm going to use Boba Fett as an example of, you know, one of those things that does fillers. There was a lot of, I'm not going to call it controversy, but there was a lot of even fans complaining that Boba Fett ended up being like a half season of The Mandalorian, because The Mandalorian is featured in quite a few episodes towards the end. And it's like, okay, where's Boba Fett at all? You know, how did we get this half season, if you will, of The Mandalorian? And now here's Luke and Ahsoka and all these people that are supposed to be in, you know, Mandalorian because they were in the season prior, and now they're in Boba Fett. So it had its own little fillers, but those fillers kind of still told the story of how everything was going to relate. And I was one of those critics that was saying, you know, they shouldn't have featured, you know, the Mandalorian storyline as much as they did. It was fine to do it a little bit, but as much as they did into Boba Fett, because it was just like Boba Fett, this, you know, rah, rah, go. And then we take a time out and it's like, oh, we're back to Mandalorian. They always say that bourbon makes your throat feel better. So
it helps.
Right. Especially this. And since I'm on that, I'm just going to throw this up here. We're at Blue Note this week.
Hey, I've seen that bottle before.
Ah, nice. It's a good one. It's a very good one. And as you can see,
where?
It's crafted in Memphis, Tennessee. Blue Note Juke Joint Whiskey. Must be over 21. That's my own commercial. Nice. But anyway, go see it. You know, go watch it. I had the choice of, you know, watching. It was a 3-day weekend. I took Friday off and extended my weekend a little bit. I wanted to go and possibly watch Top Gun. I still haven't seen it. Huh?
Shut up. I haven't seen it either.
No, I haven't either. I haven't seen it.
It's driving me nuts. Everybody's seen it.
It's the same for me. It's the same with Doctor Strange. As a Marvel fan, I'm ready to go see Doctor Strange. But then I find out today that Doctor Strange is coming to streaming like July something. And I'm like, tomorrow's June. I can wait another month, but I gotta see Top Gun in the theater.
Yeah, the way I understand it's built for the theater. That's one reason I believe they held out.
Sure.
You know, they want it in the theater in front of as many people as possible. Because of not only the visual, but I hear the audio is just incredible.
I'm sure it is.
And built for a theater with the way the jets are, you know, cranking up the afterburners, and you get the real feeling of what's going on in that movie.
Right.
And nothing but positive reviews. It makes me really, really happy because I've waited forever for this movie.
Yeah.
And it makes me happy that it's getting such good reviews.
Yeah, I just can't believe everybody dies. I mean, who would have thought?
Right, everybody. You know, when they blow up the ship at the end. And
yeah, when they blow up that ship, when Iron Man comes down, and it's just weird.
I don't know. Yeah, if I see one more person on social media telling me that they saw it, I'm just going to throw this desk.
I get it. But see, I'm sitting here going, great, he's going to throw his desk because I keep telling him to watch Obi-Wan. but it's just, it's worth it. And I agree. There's a lot of people saying, oh, I went and seen Top Gun. But the cool thing is nobody has said, I went and seen Top Gun and it sucked.
Nobody has said that.
Yeah. Everybody's like, go see it. This, you know, it's awesome, which is good. I don't want to hear how shitty it is.
Also a rarity. I'm hearing that it might even surpass the original just in, you know, the story and the script and the acting and such. That's great. Yeah. You may not believe it when you see it, but I'm okay with that.
How often do you hear that about a movie?
Almost never.
Right.
Almost never.
So instead of going to see Top Gun, and this was the choosing of the wife, so I went along with her. You got to keep Mama happy. If right. you're into the whole Harry Potter thing, I'm going to get this wrong, so I'm going to go over here to my...
You're disappointing me.
Well, yeah, I'm going to piss people off if I say it wrong, all of our tens of listeners. The Magnificent Beasts series.
Yeah.
So there was a new one that dropped on Saturday.
Yeah.
On HBO Max or something like that. She wanted to watch it. And I said, okay, let's watch it.
You picked that over Top Gun.
Free versus like $30. And I didn't have to put clothes on to watch it at home.
Right.
So, we decided to do that. And this was yesterday. So it was the day before, you know, coming back to work. But we watched that. And I tell you what, it's pretty good. I don't know the name of the actor who plays the villain, who took the place of Johnny Depp, who played the villain to begin with. But this guy, he played Hannibal on the TV show Hannibal.
Okay.
I can't remember his name. But he's like he's the badass of all bad guys. He's like the best bad guy out there right now. And I
want to say the Secret of Dumbledore.
Yeah. But just look up like.
Jude Law's in it.
Yeah, he actually plays Dumbledore. So I'm talking about Mads Mikkelsen.
Okay.
Mads Mikkelsen is just a freaking badass. And in
so
this
he's pretty good in the movie.
Oh yeah, he plays the part to a T. He was in the original Doctor Strange as one of the bad guys in that too. Gosh, what a phenomenal actor. He's good. Where's he from? He's from Denmark. And you know what they say about people from Denmark?
They're really cool.
Well, they're Danish.
No. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. I've just made it up. But anyway,
well, I commend you.
I stuck to my guns, by golly.
Yeah.
Just not my top gun.
Damn it.
All right. Well, that's enough about my excitement. Obi-Wan, I had to get that out, and I think we had talked before we started recording that I just wanted to go out and just get this all out about it, get my excitement done so that I can now concentrate on other important things.
Such as
what you're going to jump in on, and that's the recent release of the newest Def Leppard album.
That's right. Diamond Star Halos came out, what, Friday?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Friday. So it's the first Def Leppard record in, I think, 7 years. It's been a little bit. And there was a lot of hype around it, not just from the band. But if you remember, I talked about maybe a week ago that Joe Elliott said this was going to be career defining for the band, right. Which I thought was a huge statement considering that you have two career defining records already in Hysteria and Pyromania. But I listened to it, and I'll tell you, it's not career defining, but boy, it's a damn good rock record. Those first three songs that are right there in a row, those are really good songs. It lags a little, but so does Hysteria a little bit at the end.
Sure.
But I don't think it's enough to make me not enjoy the record. It's a damn good record. Take What You Want, Kick, and Fire It Up. The first three. Those are excellent songs. I could go on. There's two Alison Krauss features where she's in it. They had me on one. It's called This Guitar. I didn't know the title of it. I was out back cleaning up my deck listening to this. I thought this was a great love song for a second. I thought, hey, I need to send this to my wife. She would like this. Then I he starting to talk about his guitar, and I could tell right away this is not what it, I thought it was.
This is not going to work out the way I thought it was going to.
I thought it was saying I love you, honey. But no, it's got 15 songs. It may be three songs too long, but it's
agreed
it's
completely.
It's a really good record. I did, you know, they've been hit and miss in the 2000s a bit. Def Leppard, I think the self-titled LP was good. I thought X or 10 or whatever it's called, I thought it was good. Euphoria had a couple good songs, but not a lot. But this kind of brings them back to the forefront. I don't know how much they'll play on tour of it, but it's a really good record. If you got a little bit of money or you want to pop it into your streaming app, it's worth it.
Here's my problem. Thoughts? Here's my problem with the album.
Okay.
15 songs, way too long. I don't need to listen to Def Leppard for 15 songs. But that's just me. That's just me. Now, on the deluxe album, there are 17. I don't know what the other two are.
It's already out.
My second, other than the 15 songs, my other disappointment, I think, with this album is the lack of guitar. I mean, there's guitar in it. It's Def Leppard. But there were no Vivian Campbell-esque riffs. And I know he went through some medical issues. But it was just missing that blazing guitar work, if you will, that you've been accustomed to with, you know, Vivian Campbell being in the band. And I thought it kind of lacked it, in my opinion.
I think what you get now is a mature Def Leppard. It's reflected in their music, and they don't necessarily, I mean, a lot of these songs are of the same tempo, except for a couple. They kind of get in that same tempo all the time. That could be an issue because it doesn't shake the record up enough.
Right.
And again, when you have 15 songs and you're all in the same tempo except for a couple, I could see where you're like, man, I wish there was some killer riff or some great solo in here and that sort of thing. But I think that they have changed so much as a band that you're probably not going to get what you expect, even not just Vivian Campbell, but Phil Collin. He's amazing as well.
Right.
But, and
I mean, you still and this goes to the percussionists out there, too. There wasn't any Rick Allen, you know, big drum beats and, you know, or at least, you know, powerful, I don't want to say a drum solo. That's not what I mean, but just that.
You're talking about the big fills.
Yeah.
The big drum fills.
Yep. Yep. And it was just kind of missing it. And it almost made me feel like, I'm not saying the record was rushed, but did we not polish it up enough and just got it out there so that it could be out for the tour?
That's an interesting comment you make about the production, because I liked it because it wasn't so slick that, you know, the music just falls out of your ears.
True.
It's not raw, but Joe Elliott's up front. You can hear Joe pretty good. You know, everything's right where it should be. And, it doesn't sound like Hysteria. It doesn't sound like some of these other ones that are way, way produced. I liked it, but you have a point. They may have got this out because of the tour that's coming up.
Yeah, and I don't have a problem with that. I mean, if you had an album that was really, really close to being done, I'd want it out before I went on tour, too.
Oh, definitely. Why miss the opportunity, right?
Right. It kind of goes all over the place for me as far as, you know, it's a good Def Leppard album. And then all of a sudden I think I sent you a text and I was like, hey, listen to, it might've been Liquid Dust. Listen to this, yes, because I swear it's Cheap Trick.
That is, and that's not the best song on the record by any means.
No.
But that's the one I can't get it out of my head, because right, all I hear is that damn Liquid Dust. I hear that over and over and over.
But it just reminded me of Cheap Trick.
Yeah, Yeah, I can see that.
I can hear U2. I can hear Cheap Trick, of course. Of course, Def Leppard you can hear, but it was all over the place. Absolutely, if you've not listened to it, you know, download it, buy it, you know, get it on 8-track, whatever it is you can, because it's definitely worth listening to. I don't regret getting it because it is a good album. Their 12th one, first in what, would you say 7-8 years?
7 years, yeah.
Yeah, 7 years. That's like you're waiting on a Metallica album. You know, but I thought it was good, but you know, it just, those two things for me that it was missing, you know, or not missing, but you know, just being too long and not enough fancy Vivian Campbell guitar work. But maybe it's just because I'm spoiled, you know, with good guitar work.
The thing is, a lot of Def Leppard fans really, really, really want something like High and Dry. You're not going to get High and Dry.
No.
You know, those days are gone.
Joe's vocals couldn't handle that.
No, heck no. He's got a right where he is now in his vocal range, his age, whatever. But this reminds me a little more of what Bon Jovi sounds like, in a sense that they're not the same. You know, they're not putting out Slippery When Wet. They're putting out more mature records, more... well, song orientated and not so much instrumental orientated with the solos,
sure,
that sort of thing. I think this is better than what I've heard from Bon Jovi lately. So the only comparison I'm making is aging of a band, progression of a band, how they're maturing. And I don't think you're going to get the out and out rockers that you want.
Right.
But there's some songs on here that are up tempo. That first song I think is killer. Take What You Want. Fired Up. Both of those are killer.
Yep. Yeah, like you said, the first three are awesome.
Yeah, I think you get to about, well, just what we said, about 7 songs in. After that, I could cut out a few. But you give me, a few more after that. Like, if we had 8, 10 songs, we'd be good.
Yeah.
We'd be really good.
I think they could easily cut 3 at least.
There's a website, I can't remember which one, that does this, but it's basically taking albums that are really, really long, like Hysteria, and your favorite, Hot in the Shade by Kiss, and fixing them by cutting out certain songs.
The fillers.
Right. So... let's say you're real prolific,
or prolific.
And you've written all these songs, and you've got, man, we've got 50 songs. You know, well, we can really put out a good record because we have 50 songs to pick from.
Right.
Sometimes you have too many. Hot in the Shade is way too long.
I agree.
So they cut it down to 10 songs, you know, and make a really solid record. They did that with Hysteria. They do that with a lot of records that are just a tad too long, and it's maybe 3 guys doing it, and each of them submitted lists.
Right.
And they're not all the same. So your list may be different than my list, and I may cut Don't Shoot Shotgun, and you may cut Gods of War. And I'm like, what the fuck? Why'd you do that?
What are you doing?
But yeah, so it's kind of fun. You could do that with this record, I think, but I think it's a step up from the last 2 they've done. So I'm happy with
totally,
it.
Totally. Absolutely a step up. Yeah, that's a no brainer. I totally agree with that statement. And again, it's just in time for the tour.
But here's the question. Will they play any of it on the tour?
One song. I think they'll play one.
I think you're right.
I think it'll be, I got to get back to it here. I think they'll play Fire It Up because really Fire It Up is a very good song to open a show with.
You think so?
Yeah. I think it's a good one for them to, it's been a while since I've seen Def Leppard. I don't know what they're kicking their show off with anymore, but you know, Fire It Up, you know, let's get this, mm-hmm. you know, let's get this going. So I think they could, but yeah, it's a good record. It's just, it's not one of my favorites, but definitely better than the last two.
That's one of the things that is an issue with new music when you play it in concert is people don't, quote unquote, want to hear anything new. So that's their cue to go to the bathroom or the beer line or whatever.
Yeah.
I one time was at Journey, believe it or not. And this is when, I can't remember which album. Yeah. which album it was, but Arnell recorded it. And literally in the middle of the set, Jonathan Cain says something like, "Indulge us for a couple of songs. We've got a couple of new ones." And I liked the record, so I was excited. But as soon as he said, "Indulge us for a minute," droves of people just start moving.
That's time to go get your drinks, your swag, your, you know, your piss break, whatever. Yeah,
he shouldn't have said anything. So I saw Styx a few years later and with their new record, The Mission. They did it the right way. They kicked off the show with a new song.
Nice.
I mean, that's the way you do it. You know, play two in a row, boom, boom, right off the bat. You've got people.
Yep.
But don't wait till the middle and say, "Hey, please don't leave. Indulge us."
Yeah. Hang around for just a second. Yeah. I forgot where I was going to go with my train of thought there, but the tour is going to be awesome, you know, regardless of what they put out. I think they'll play a couple off of here, maybe just one. Oh, I remember where I was going. I was talking about playlists.
Mm.
A few days ago, I saw a picture or a video. I don't remember what it was. And it was Skid Row was tagged in it. And it said, you know, this girl got a guitar pick and a set list from somebody. I don't know if it was Rachel or who it was on in Skid Row, but she posted a picture of the pick. Okay, cool. And then posted a picture of the set list. Skid Row's put out a number of records.
This, they have lately.
This set list, unless I'm mistaken, 95% was Sebastian Bach era Skid Row songs.
Oh, I believe it.
Yeah, because that's what people want to hear. You could play me five songs and they all be Skid Row, not featuring Sebastian Bach, and I would not be able to tell you that it was Skid Row. Because I don't know what any of their singers sound like, except for the one they have right now who sounds like Sebastian Bach. But right. I don't know any of those. So, I mean, I guess I was kind of surprised, but I guess not, because that kind of goes back to what you're saying about, you know, stopping in the middle and saying, "Hey, here's some new shit. You know, don't go nowhere." Well, Skid Row's not doing that at all. I guess they're just like, "Hey, you know, this is the shit that you guys know. This is what you recognize. This is what sold the tickets. If you want to hear mm-hmm. new stuff, go buy our album. Go listen to, you know, one of the last three singers that we've had that's not Sebastian right. Bach."
Right. And that's the struggle. That's the struggle when you go on tour, when you, you're a legacy band and people want to hear the hits.
Sure.
If you're a band with a huge back catalog and you got a new record you want to promote, it's not easy.
You know who I think does a very good job of that?
Who's that?
Metallica.
Okay. What do they do different?
Well, they'll put new shit in. They don't give a shit. I mean, they just throw it right in there. Death Magnetic, when that came out, you know, they're going to doing shows. Now, of course, they're playing, you know, Master and One and, you know, different things, Ride the Lightning. But they've got such an eclectic catalog that they can do that. But they're throwing in their new stuff. Wasn't necessarily at the beginning. I don't know. I don't have a set list in front of me. But they're throwing the stuff out there. And if there's already been a good reception, you know, be it album sales or whatever, they're throwing it in there. And Metallica fans, they're, you know, "Wow, yeah, that's good stuff." And they ain't going anywhere.
I think that's the difference. I think Metallica fans are a different breed of fan in that they are so wrapped up in that band. They know everything about that band. They know every personnel move. They've been waiting for that.
Did you hear
that last one that came out. What was that?
Was that a good one? Hang on.
There you go.
Cork pop.
But they are so involved in waiting on a new record, and they know it's going to be good, that they want it so bad that they're going to be engaged in that concert. They want to hear that stuff.
Yeah, I agree. And being one of those Metallica fans, I totally agree. Because, I mean,
I think when you saw them, you went with some friends that we both know.
Right.
And all of them told me they were excited to hear the new ones. They were so excited because it was their favorite one on that record.
Yeah.
Whatever it was. You don't hear that anymore from people.
No. But it was good. But when we were talking about Def Leppard and some of the stuff that we were going to discuss with this, in my research, I came across an album that I was reading a review, and I was like, okay, this is interesting. So while I was waiting for you, I went and I pulled this album up. And I was like, no way. You know, reading this review, I was like, there's no way that what they're saying is true. So I went and listened to a number of songs. I flipped through them. Let me pull it up here. I don't remember how many songs are on that album. There are 12. And I was like, okay, let me go check it out. So I'm gonna read you just a little bit here without giving it away. The opening three songs are filled with solid drumming and driving guitar riffs with Sane, I Still Burn, and Purifier, which has the guitar sound similar to Judas Priest, with lyrics bashing a person who is a fake and points fingers at others without looking at their own lives first. And they go on talking about all these other ones. Let me get to the end of this review, and it says, the name of this album is Boombox.
Yeah, Boombox. It just came out.
Hits the right notes for someone like me, the reviewer, who hasn't listened to this band in many years. And they finish it by saying, the vocalists... voice will be an acquired taste, just like his work in his profession. But I can honestly say that it doesn't say profession. I'm throwing that out there not to give it away yet. But I can honestly say that I enjoy his singing along with the rest of the band's musical skills more than his current work in his other profession. I would be all right if this person decided to make rock and roll his full-time gig permanently. I'm talking about Boombox. That was released on May 6th, so just over a month, just under a month ago, by mm-hmm. Jericho.
Yeah, by Fozzy.
By Fozzy, yeah, Chris Jericho. Holy crap! So I went and listened to. I pounded through 12 of these songs. Go listen to it.
Oh, I've got it.
Do you really?
No, I Still Burn is fantastic.
How do you not get past track number 6? Frankie Goes to Hollywood remix by Jericho singing Relax.
Yeah.
I was like, what? I mean, because I remember the video, watching that video. It freaked me out for some reason. I think it was all the lights, you know, and you know, all the lasers and everything. Laser beam me. But daggone, I did not realize, and it got me a little excited to hear some more of it. I didn't realize how badass that record is. And I'm excited that I found it and that you already had it and I didn't know anything about it.
Yeah, I think Fozzy gets better with every record. Judas was so good.
Yes.
The one before that was good. They just keep getting better at what they do. And they're taking it serious. They're having fun. But they're taking it serious. And, man, they can put out some good stuff. Sane is on there, like
yes.
you said. I Still Burn. Is Nowhere to Run still on there? Is that on there?
Yep, track number 7.
Yeah, that's an amazing song.
Yeah, is that
came out
is that the,
2 years ago.
Is that the ballad?
No, it's not. I don't consider it a ballad, but
Maybe there's that one of them that's ballad-esque.
Yeah. Okay.
It's going to take me a minute here to find that, but no, Ugly on the Inside is more like a Marilyn Manson vibe. I can't find it. It doesn't matter. Anyway, yeah, totally worth checking out. If you're into, you know, rock and metal and all that, go listen to that, because I'm ashamed that I didn't give it a chance or even pay attention that it was released. You know, I feel like
I'm ashamed I didn't send it to you.
I feel like I've done this a misjustice because I can't wait to put it on some good speakers, you know, other than when I was listening on my iPad. I can't wait to listen to it and be like, wow, that's good. I mean, because I've been a fan of PJ Farley for, you know, since what is it, 1989, 1990, 91, when he was with Trickster. Anybody that remembers Trickster. But my gosh, unbelievable. And a lot of people don't give Fozzy the recognition I think that they deserve, because it's Chris Jericho, a professional wrestler, a sports entertainer, who he can't sing. You know, he's just doing this to make extra money. Well, bullshit. Chris Jericho is out there doing his thing.
I think some of the criticism comes from also how they began, because they were a parody for a little bit.
So with Steel Panther, and look where they're at now.
That's kind of the comparison. I think they were Steel Panther before Steel Panther.
Right.
You know, but then they said, hey, let's write our own songs and let's really do this, you know. And I mean, I think they get better with every record. And Jericho's a wizard. Just for all you wrestling fans, he's a wizard.
Yeah. You've got a band that you've been talking about lately that you've turned me into. I've been listening to some of their stuff, and they're an Indiana band that you are quite familiar with.
Yeah. They're out of Muncie, Muncie, Indiana, and they are called Audio Discrepancies. And they've got a handful of songs that you can pick up off of Apple Music, Spotify, wherever you get your stuff.
I love the name, Audio Discrepancies.
Right, it's a pretty cool name. I'll play you a little snippet here, refresh your memory. Let's see.
It's our high-tech sound system.
Right. Now, their description of themselves is a bit of a 60s psychedelic sound, but I hear a lot of Zeppelin and Sabbath and things like that in there as well.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. You know, you sent me, I think you sent me like three songs, and I had them repeating because those three were just awesome. I thought they were pretty good. I didn't consider it very, very psychedelic. And I know if you go to their Facebook page, they're on social media, facebook.com/audiodiscrepancies. They have some psychedelic looking artwork and all that, but I'm not trying to downplay what they're saying at all, but to me, they don't come across as psychedelic punkish or anything like that. They just sound like a damn good rock band.
It sounds very, very heavy and very, very metal. Heavier than some of the things that come out, from bands that do that sort of thing.
Sure.
And that singer, he's really good. I wrote down his name. I've got a whole little list here. David, I think it's Maganetti. Yeah, something like that. He's the vocalist, and man, he can wail.
Yeah, he's got wail some range, best of them, for sure.
You know, and I was impressed with all of them. I know, full disclosure, I'm familiar with one of the members. Gentry Hoyt plays bass, and I had never heard him play bass until now, and I was impressed with that, how his fingers fly all over the strings there. And it's pretty impressive stuff. if you get a chance, anybody that cares, like I said, they've got a, some stuff on YouTube that's live stuff, and you can really, really get a good vibe on how they play. But it's audio discrepancies on YouTube. It's really, really, really good stuff. Yep. They do the bar band tour, I think, around Indianapolis, Muncie, wherever they can get a gig right now. And I think those three songs are going to be included in a album format here shortly.
Oh, nice. Yeah, totally worth checking out. Audio discrepancies. It appears that they are also on the gram. As soon as I clicked their link on the gram from their Facebook site, it did not come up. It said, nope, it doesn't exist. So I don't know. It may be wrong on their,
it's there.
Okay. Maybe it's just wrong on their Facebook page, but audio discrepancies, check them out on the gram. That's Instagram. Check them out on Facebook and wherever you listen to your music from Spotify and Apple Music. Cause I think you'll be impressed. They are self-described as a rock band in Muncie, Indiana. But yeah, check them out. I think you'll be impressed. And this is what I like is seeing, you know, I'll say local, they're not really local when they're quite a few miles away from us, but you know, this is one of those small town bands that, you know, we want to feature, you know, we want to say, hey, yeah, we've listened to it. We think they're pretty good. And, mm-hmm. you know, kind of lead our listeners into the direction of checking out some of these things that, you know, some of these bands that you're not going to see on the mainstream until, you know, they start getting more airplay and getting people really into them. So if there's anything we can do to help make that happen for bands like Audio Discrepancies, then, you know, we're all for that. And definitely for sure. Worth checking out.
Yeah, for sure. Especially when it's good. Original material like that. You know, you can be in a band and a lot of times you'll be doing covers and things like that. These guys are going out, they're playing all originals for the most part.
Yeah. Yeah. Do they have an EP out or anything?
Like I said, there'll be an album coming out with these tracks that I sent you, the three tracks.
Okay, but the sure ones that they have out now, they're just out as singles.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
All right. Perfect. Audio Discrepancies, check them out. I think you guys will like them. And then go check out Fozzy, because Audio Discrepancies right. should totally come before Fozzy. And they're out of Muncie. Audio Discrepancies, not Fozzy.
Not Fozzy.
I don't even know where the hell Fozzy's out of.
Wherever Jericho wants
yeah,
to be.
Yeah, wherever the tour takes them this time. I want to jump into an email.
Oh, great.
So we had an email from Zeke. I want to address this. Zeke wrote in, I'm going to be devil's advocate over the Steven Tyler talk. If you remember last week, we were talking about Steven Tyler having to cancel, or Aerosmith having to cancel 7 or 8 dates of their tour because Steven Tyler went to rehab. I think I'm the one that said something to the effect of, if he knew he had an issue and he let the doctor know that, then, you know, where does the blame go? Is it on Steven Tyler for allowing this to happen, or is it on the doctor for allowing this to happen? Zeke wrote in, and again, he says, I'm going to play devil's advocate. You, meaning me, assume that the doctor knows his past. Unless Tyler has brought it up, I don't think you can assume the doctor knows anything. I agree. If it's not his normal doctor, sure. He's not going to know. But that goes back to what I'm saying. If Steven Tyler didn't tell him and the doctor doesn't know, I mean, obviously the fault lies where it goes. I would say it's both the responsibilities, but more so on Steven Tyler. Excuse me. Before surgery, the doctor will sit down and tell you exactly what's going to happen. Agreed. It is at that time Tyler should have told the doctor about his past so they can work through the issues. Agreed. If Tyler said nothing, then shame on him. Third time, agree. Tyler would have had to agree with everything that was going to happen, including pain management. If the doctor deviated from what they agreed upon, then I'm sure he will be sued. But if the doctor went by what he agreed upon before the surgery, then there's no one to blame but Tyler. Also, if they only had 8 shifts, okay, this is a good point. and I didn't think about this last week, if they only had 8 shows to go, why couldn't he put off surgery until the shows were done? Good point.
Right. It's a very good point. I don't have any other details about that. But
no, it wasn't an emergency surgery, and it was on his foot.
Axl Rose did it in a boot.
Hell, here we go. Hell, sit on a stool to finish out the remaining shows, then get the surgery done. Dave Grohl, what'd he do, fall, broke his ankle, and went ahead and finished the show?
Right, and the stool that he sat on, that's what Axl used during the Guns N' Roses tour.
Right.
When he hurt his foot, if you remember.
Yep.
And he did many, many shows sitting on a stool with a boot or a cast or something.
Yeah. But Zeke, I want to thank you for your email. You're absolutely right. Devil's advocate or not, somebody's to blame. And yeah, why couldn't we just finish the tour? 8 shows. My freaking foot hurts. Suck it up. I mean, I don't know how bad it was. Maybe. Was it an ingrown toenail?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I mean, and we don't know. We're sitting here, you know, just yapping because we have no clue. But still, that's a good point. Finish the tour. It's 8 shows. It was more than 8, but I think they only canceled 8 with the assumption that after 8, and you know, after this stint in rehab, he could be back to finish off, like, we'll say the last 4. I don't know. But still.
Football players do it all the time.
Right?
They do it all the time.
You ever seen a hockey player get his tooth knocked out?
Every day.
Yeah, they're right back in there playing. They're not worried about it.
Exactly.
So I don't know. Steven Tyler is older than, you know, football players, hockey players, and all that. But I don't know. And if Steven Tyler wants to come on the show and explain it, he can. Does he owe us an explanation? No, because I didn't buy a ticket that I had to get refunded. The last line of Zeke's email was that he looks forward to hearing Dolly on our show soon. Well, Zeke, so do we. We're trying to get Dolly. It's just not worked out yet. I got to tell you a story, and I was trying to avoid this. Right. I kept moving on to different things. You know, we had made our list that we were going to talk about. But I think I have to bring it up because my hand keeps itching. And, you know, your hand itches. Anything will itch when it's healing. This weekend, and I'm going to put this out there right now, there was no alcohol involved whatsoever.
Thank God.
Ish. There's none until later, and that was to ease the pain. But I got attacked by a drone this weekend.
Attack of the Drones.
Yeah, you know, it's a classic Star Wars movie, Episode 2, Attack of the Drone. The problem is that it was my own drone. So I moved. That wasn't the funny part, but
it's pretty damn funny.
Just wait. It gets better. So I moved last year. And you know this, I moved, from the house I was in to a new house, cause that's what people do when they move. And in my old house, I had a drone. Well, I still have it here. Haven't flown it in a year. And I'm out saying it's a 4-day weekend. It's the sun shining. I want to fly the drone and get some pictures of the new house. Found all the pieces and parts, got everything charged. And I'm like, how the hell do I do this again? I don't remember. So I'm flipping through things. My daggone app that I use, I couldn't get logged in. I click the button where it says forget password. It sends me the instructions in Chinese on how to reset my password. I don't know Chinese, but I do know emails. And I said, this part here has got to be what you click to select your password. So what does my dumbass do? I clicked it.
Yeah.
And then it said, re-enter your new password. I was like, sweet, I do know Chinese. So I re-enter the password, get it all done, go into the app. I get the controller to hook up to the drone itself. Everything's talking. I haven't been on the app in over a year, which means the drone hasn't been on in over a year, which means there's an update. So then I spend another 20 minutes waiting for the update to get updated and go into the drone, and it comes on and says, bitch, you're ready to go. And I was like, sweet, I'm ready to fly. Okay, I've got this. You know, I have to use the controller. It's dual stick and all that, but the app is on my iPad so that I can actually watch the app to see where I'm going as I fly it, you know, with the controller. So I'm sitting in my garage. I have my case on the tailgate of my truck. My tailgate is down. I have the case that I keep my drone in. I put the drone, I physically pick it up, and I put it on the floor. And I'm like, all right, this is where we're going. And I see the button that says, start to fly. So what do? I slide it. Begin to fly because I'm ready. Everything's good. I've got green lights flashing. I got red lights flashing. Everything is going right. I swipe right. Begin to fly. One important thing I forgot. And it tells you, because when I did it again, I read it and said, you dumbass, you should have read that. I didn't read because, you know, my man, we don't read directions. We just do things.
No, we don't need to.
We do. I have the scars to prove it. What I forgot to realize was that when you swipe to fly, your drone kicks on. So we're talking four blades going 6.2 billion miles an hour. It then rises 4 feet off the ground and hovers. That's the key part I forgot, is that it rises and hovers.
Okay.
So as it rises, what's down? What's my case on? The tailgate.
Tailgate.
It rises into the tailgate, bounces off the tailgate, and it's just sitting there bouncing. I'm like, holy crap. I try to use my foot to kick it away from the tailgate. Blade number one slices into my left leg. Blade number two slices into my right leg. My right leg wasn't even there, so I don't know how it got there. As I got it pushed over, I reach with my right hand. I grab a hold of it. At the same time I grab a hold of it, it wants to turn in the direction that, you know, my force is. And where did it go? It catches, I can't get this on here. It catches my wrist. I can't pull it up. It catches my wrist, slices the wrist. I scream, ow. I'm still bouncing off the tailgate. I reach over with my left arm and boom, 6.8 million miles an hour, spinning blade, slicing through my freaking tattoo, my sleeve that I have. And it's right here. It slices it. I know you can't see it very well, but it's sliced. And I finally get a hold of it, and I look at the app, and it says, are you done flying? And I'm like, hell yeah, I am. And I swipe it again, and it turns off, and I set it down. I'm like, what did I just do? I look at my wrist, yeah, a little bit of blood, look at my leg, and I'm like, I just got effed up by my own drone. I look at my arm. And I'm like, holy crap, it's gaping open probably about like that. Easily could have used a stitch or a staple probably. But what do? Lick it and move on, right? No big deal.
Right.
I'm not going to let this thing beat me. So I pick it up.
Hell no.
I take it out to my driveway. I swipe right, begin to fly. It rises up 4 feet and sits there and mocks me. It just looks at me and says, are we going to fly or what? So I flew it. I got photos. I got video, pictures. You know, I did a great job of my house, my property. Got everything I wanted to do. As I look, I'm bleeding onto the sidewalk. My shoes have got blood on them because there's blood running down my leg. I look horrible. I should have got a picture of myself. But I get done. And I bring it back down to 4 feet off the ground so that I can land it. This is an expensive toy. I'm not going to get so pissed off that I, you know, throw it like I should have. My dog goes to attack the drone. And I'm just like, great. The last thing I need is for, you know, 6.8 million miles an hour blade to get caught by a dog's mouth, and then my dog's mouth can open all the way like a freaking anaconda. So I get it to fly away. I tell the dog to, not the dog, I got the drone to fly away. And then I told the dog no, the dog backs off. I land the drone, get it done, undo everything, take the battery out, put it in the case, and I ain't touched it yet. Again, I'm done. I'm done. I'm going to sell it. It destroyed my both arms, my leg. I want to download my pictures and be done with it. I've never been attacked by my own drone. Or any drone for that matter, but my own? I mean, I felt like my child had just attacked me.
Did you have to clean the blood off the blades, or did you just leave it there?
I left it.
Yeah, heck with that.
Heck with that. That thing can clean itself, by golly.
But, so you allowed your drone to get hacked by the Chinese, who then in turn attacked you.
You are 100% correct. It is the Chinese fault. I didn't think about that. Yes. Yeah, that's
it. I think that's what it was.
It totally was. It was the Chinese. I'm going to write that down. Drone attack. And in parentheses, China. I probably have corona now.
They probably think that you're more valuable than you think you are when you were in the Coast Guard.
I betcha. Exactly. We get you. We show you.
We took out leader.
Yeah, we got you now. You've been retired for a long time, but we still find you. Ha ha. Yeah, pissed off. Bunch of bull crap. But anyway, let's not forget one of our fantastic non-sponsors, and that's Bad Company Barbecue. Buddy of mine came over the other day. He was getting ready to smoke a... It was a butt because everybody, you know, it's the funny jokes. You rubbed your butt.
Yeah, smoke your butt.
Yeah, you got to rub it first. So he gets in touch with me, just bought a smoker, said, hey, what rub do you recommend? I told him I did not recommend any that you could find at the store, whether it be your local grocery store or, you know, Wally World or wherever. I recommended that since he was doing a pork butt that he use the Bad Company Barbecue bourbon soaked peach that I have. He came over and grabbed it. He made one. He has yet to deliver a sample of it, but he said it was amazing. So Jeff, if you're listening, you owe me a sample of your butt with my rub. That sounded horrible. But he used it and said it turned out amazing. And I'm sure it did. Bad Company Barbecue has been with us since day one, episode one. Jason is a friend of mine. Remember that all profits that he gets go to charity, and he's a veteran-owned organization. You can find him on Facebook, Instagram, the interwebs, badcompanybbq.com, Bad Company Barbecue on Facebook, and Bad Company Barbecue on Instagram. And don't forget, if you use the promo code THEWEEKLYPOUR, you will get 10% off all seasonings and stickers. So it's very well worth it. I honestly think like one bottle, one canister of it or whatever, I want to say it's like $11. And the amount of flavor and all that you get in these is fantastic. So be sure to check them out. BadCompanyBBQ.com, BadCompanyBBQ.com, Facebook, Instagram, the interwebs. Promo code the weekly pour, get your 10% off all your seasonings and stickers.
Nice job.
Yeah, thanks. I practiced.
You sound like a pro.
I know. It's almost like we know what we're doing almost on episode 10. Also, don't forget to email us at theweeklypourpodcast@gmail.com, just like Zeke did. And if you've got something interesting to say, we will talk about it on the show. Even if you just, email us to say that, you know, you like the picture of Tom Cruise in the background of Ace, or the cleavage in the background of mine. For those that are actually watching the video, which the video is available on YouTube, our YouTube channel, just type in The Weekly Pour, and also on Spotify, because Spotify will put up videos. The rest of you are getting this via audio. So if you want to see what we look like, go ahead. You'll be disappointed, but whatever. That's part of life. both Ace and myself have been told we've got the face for radio. I'm not quite sure what that means. there's one other person we wanted to give a shout out to, and I'll let you do this one, Ace.
Right. I don't want to forget Music and More Records, another one of our non-sponsor sponsors. Music and More Records, you can find them on Facebook at Music and More Records Facebook. There's an Instagram page, Music and More Records on Instagram. If you want to purchase, mostly it's going to be vinyl. If you're into the vinyl thing, a lot of people are, and it's got a huge comeback going. You can hit them up on Facebook or Instagram and look through their record collection. Everything I get now, I get from Music and More Records. If you're watching the video, over my shoulder is a Triumph Rock and Roll Machine record. And I got that in one of the auctions that Kathy Dunn at Music and More Records does every Wednesday. So she also does an auction every Wednesday.
Is this an online auction?
Right. Live on Facebook.
No kidding.
Yeah, they're a lot of fun.
What time does she do those on Wednesdays?
8 o'clock. It is through a...
That's 8 o'clock p.m.?
Correct.
Okay, so 8 o'clock Eastern time.
Right.
And I assume if you win, she will ship it to you for a moderate, for a small fee?
Right, right. She'll ship it to you. She makes it very easy for you to make the payment and get the record out. You'll get it pretty quick. I believe that is through a different page. You can request more information through her page about her auction. Because if you're into the vinyl and some of the stuff that she puts out, some of it's kind of rare. This one back here, the Triumph one, I paid a lot more than I thought I would for it because of the cover. That's kind of a cool cover, and everyone was just going nuts over it. And I won because...
Where's she out of?
She is out of New Hartford, New York.
Okay. So if any of our New York fans are listening, at Music and More Records on Commercial Drive in, was that right. New Hartford?
New Hartford, New York.
Nice. I just went to her page too, and good grief, the amount of stuff she has, including CDs. Now, is most of her vinyl, is it new or used?
Most of it's going to be used vinyl in incredibly, incredibly good shape.
Nice.
She takes a lot of care to make sure that she doesn't buy anything that's going to be scratched up, bent up, tore up. You know, when you get something, it's going to be like new. You know, it's something that is going to be worth playing and having in your collection.
Well, one of her, what is today's date?
31st.
Today's the 31st. So 2 days ago, she put a post on her Facebook site that said, I'm interested in buying vinyl records in all genres of music from 1970 present in nice, clean condition. If you or someone you know is looking, I'm sorry, if you or someone you know is moving, downsizing, or looking to sell, please message me. That's awesome, because the worst thing out there is for somebody to take their vinyl collection and just be like, meh, and throw them away. Or take them.
Oh, it drives me nuts. I hate that.
Yeah, or take them to a pawn shop. Pawn shop's not going to, they're not going to offer you what you need or what you should get, in my opinion, for that vinyl. So, and I'm sure even if you're, you know, say in Indiana and you've got vinyl that she's looking for or she wants, she'll probably buy it off of you.
Right. She'll make you a fair offer on a good collection too.
And that's key, a fair offer, which is very hard to get, but my gosh, I'm just flipping through and there's some freaking awesome stuff on here.
Yeah. The store, it's a small store. If you ever go into the store, but it's really, really nicely laid out. She's got clothes. She's got, DVDs. She's got cassettes. She's got CDs. Ton of vinyl. So, Music and More Records, New Hartford, New York.
This last call that she did, boy, I missed out on this one. She placed an order for in stock and arriving on Friday. I might have to see if she has any of this. It's Ozzy's freaking Black Rain, and that album cover. Oh, okay. This is from 2007. Yeah, from 2007. That album cover. That's what like I loved about vinyl. You know, it wasn't this small.
I always said that. I always said that when vinyl started fading a bit, you were losing some of the artwork, like beautiful artwork.
Oh.
You don't see that in necessarily in CD form. When I was in college, my whole wall in my room was just covered in vinyl records because of the art.
Yeah.
That's why I stick a record behind me because it just looks cool.
Yeah, that's why I stick. Never mind.
Yeah.
Because it looks cool. But yeah, definitely check her out. Music and More Records on Facebook and the other social media platforms that Ace told you about. I don't think you'll be. Does she take special requests? Like if you're looking for something in particular, will she assist in maybe trying to find that?
Right. She'll look through her distributors and see if she can help you out.
Nice.
She's got many, many ways of finding whatever record you're looking for.
Okay. And her website on the interwebs is musicandmorerocks.com. ROCKS. Musicandmorerocks.com. But it looks to me like Facebook is the way to go. So Kathy, thank you for doing what you do and helping keep music alive, especially vinyl, because that's important these days, because I miss it. I miss the needle. Put the needle on the record. Sounds like it should be like the lyric to a song.
It sounds like it should.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe. Well, listen, that's all we've got for this week. We want to thank you for joining the Weekly Pour Podcast. Once again, this was episode 10. I am TBT. That guy is Ace. Email us at theweeklypourpodcast@gmail.com if you have anything to say, just like Zeke did from our last show. Be sure to visit our non-sponsor sponsors, Music and More Records and Bad Company Barbecue. Until then, we will be back next week with episode 11. And who knows? What do you want us to talk about? Let us know. Help us out. Okay? We'll see you.